appreciate your ministry to us in song. Let me go ahead and invite Matthew and Krista to come on down, if you would. It's a great opportunity for us to have them here, and look forward to them sharing about their ministry. Let me adjust my accoutrements right here. All right, come on over. Okay, I'm here. This is you. Yes. I don't need that. I need this. Okay, let me just pray for us and ask God to use this time. Father, we come now, and even though we're having a conversation about ministry, we still need your help. I pray you'd send your spirit down and use this time to inflame us, to stir us, to drive us to participate in what you've called us to do, and that is to go into all the world and make disciples. And Lord, I pray that you would use this time to show us how we can further participate in Matthew and Krista's ministry, in the ministry of Ashish, and the ministry of Epic International. Help us, Lord Jesus. Please bless and use this time. We pray, Jesus, in your name. Amen. It was some years ago where a pastor named Craig Tuck introduced me to Roscoe Brewer. And I said, I got this guy I'd really love for you to meet. He runs a ministry called Epic International, and so we went to one of their banquets called A Handful of Rice. And that's where I met Roscoe Brewer, and Roscoe Brewer literally sank his teeth into me. For some reason, he latched on to me, and he began talking to me about the ministry of Epic International and church planting. To this day, I don't know why Roscoe went after me so hard. I'm glad he did. But we began years ago, some long years ago, to support a church planter named Daniel Chetry, who is over there somewhere. I don't know if he's still a church planter. And then Epic retooled the way they support people, and we began to support the partner, who is Ashish. Is that correct? Okay, so then we began to support Ashish, who is a kind of a Paul to a bunch of Timothys over there. So that's, you've heard us talk about Ashish, our church planner, his school over there. So there are three things I want us to be sure to talk about. One is church planting. Okay, then secondly, we want to talk about the ministry in the Red Light District. And then thirdly, we want to talk about the children's home that you're also trying to start. So at least those three things, let's be sure we talk about those. Okay, so why don't we begin? Just tell us... why don't you tell us how you are related to Ashish? Since we directly support Ashish, what part do you play in that? So we can see how you fit into that. It's on.
Matthew and I are the national directors for Epic in India. We cover the country of India, Bhutan, Nepal, and Sri Lanka. And so what we do is we come alongside like-minded organizations. And we partner with the leader of that organization. So he has his own organization, and he has church planters that work under him, and he already has the same vision to reach his people group.
Okay, so you work with Ashish. Would you call yourselves his supervisors in some sense, or... more partners?
We're more partners.
Okay, okay.
So we help with some mentoring, help him come up with strategy, and just make sure that the vision that that God has given him for his ministry is being met.
Okay. And how is his church planting ministry going?
Oh, quite well. They're working very hard in the field. They're reaching out to new people all the time. They've started children's programs so that they're reaching the children, and through the children, the parents are coming to Christ. So we're seeing he's doing great work.
Okay, and how many church planters does Ashish oversee? 15 church planters. Okay. And the church planters, in turn, start house churches. Is that correct?
Yes.
So do you have any ballpark idea of how many house churches there might be under Ashish's total supervision?
The report that he gave was 175.
Okay. That's amazing.
Yes, it is.
That's fabulous. Praise the Lord. And you shared last night that there had been accounts of conversions, people coming to Christ through the ministry of Ashish and his church planters, and
yes,
and that the work was going well.
Yes, it's going very well.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yes.
What we have been participating in most directly is his school. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how that's going and what he uses that school for, what the goal of the school is?
He started working in an area that, where there was no school, and it's called Naranpali, and it's in an area called Shiv Mandir, just outside of Siliguri town. And the children had a great need for a school, and they found that it was a very good way for them to make an entrance into the community. And through the kids, they have access to the parents. The parents are very happy that their kids are getting education. And so they're able to go out and meet with the parents and share with them.
Okay.
And they have a good-sized house church out there.
Okay. There is no church before that area. There is no church in that area, particular Naranpali called, as he started the school. There is one of the entrance point to him to enter that unreached people group in those areas. That's why they started the small school. It is a free school type, but he is charging now little bit money. They are paying back also. It is covering his salary for the teachers and everything.
Okay, so when the students come to that school, they're not only being instructed, they're hearing the gospel.
Yes.
Yes.
Even they came, and because of that, children are first started to come. Now the parents also coming and attending the church, and few of them baptized also.
So a Christian school in India has an opportunity to have a course in what's called moral science. And so in moral science, they're able to share Bible stories and talk about Jesus. And so the kids are learning about the Bible. They're learning the stories in the Bible, and they'll keep that with them forever. Because I have met people who are in their 40s and 50s and went to a Christian school, and they can still tell me those stories.
Wow.
So...
And so that's trickling out into the parents,
right?
As,
it is
as well.
And the Word of God is working through the children's, and the parents also interested, slowly coming one by church.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a quiet member is there in the church. That one
okay,
became so a school hall. One of the parties using for the church also.
Okay.
Sunday service.
Wow.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That's awesome. So just let me make an aside here. The money that you supported, used to help build the school, is bearing fruit in conversions. And you should feel really great about that. And that, I don't mean you feel good about that. You should praise God.
Well, yes. And now the school building is also doubling as a church building.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yes.
That's exciting.
The last time we were there were, I guess, about 30 people.
Not
at the church. So,
well, praise the Lord.
Plus kids. So
awesome.
It's great.
Great. Now, if I forget anything you think I need to ask them, you just shout it out, okay? Right? Yes. Closer to the microphone.
Okay.
Do you need to sit down, or are you okay?
No, I'm fine.
All right. How's that? Is that okay?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Sounds
all right.
Louder.
You need to be louder. You need to be louder. You need to talk over me, for one thing. Okay. Wow, that is exciting to hear about the school and the church planting ministry. Last night you talked at some length about the ministry to the Red Light District. So share with us kind of how that happened, what's going on, and kind of the different areas you're ministering in that area.
Okay. A few years ago... Excuse me, a secular organization it's a nonprofit organization that works in the red light area came to us and asked us if we would please do something for their kids. The kids in that area do not attend school. Their mothers are all involved in prostitution. Their mothers have all been trafficked into that area. In India, no woman chooses that occupation. So the women have all been trafficked in, sold into it. And their children are growing up there. And so they're literally running wild. They run the streets. And so they asked us to please come and do something for the kids. And so we started a children's club where we're giving them basic education. We're starting to teach them reading and writing in their own language, which is Bengali. These are all Bengali women. And in addition to that, we teach them English, and we're going to be kind of advancing as we go along. So we've got about 35 to 40 kids that are coming. They come 3 days a week. We provide them with a nutritious snack at the end of each day. So we're giving them like boiled eggs and bananas, and we'd love to give them milk to go along with that, but we don't have that kind of ability right now. But the kids love it. They're learning about Jesus. If we're late getting there, they borrow somebody's cell phone and call, "Where are you?" And so they're waiting when we get there. And for kids that have never had any kind of structure in their life, they sit very quietly. They listen. Somebody's donated a flannel graph. We teach them the Bible stories. And then they have kind of a competition to see who can put the story back up as the fastest. And so they remember them and are able to share. And what's happening now is that the moms are starting to come and sit outside and listen. They're seeing a difference in their children. They're very happy with what we're doing with the kids. And they're listening. And the kids are inviting the leaders to go to their homes to meet their families and their moms. And so the Lord's just really opening up doors there for us. Now, in addition to the children's part, you want me to?
No, I just want to, as an aside, just for you to let that sink in, what all that is, and what a profound thing that you've been invited in there to minister.
Yeah. In addition to the children's part, we have been asked to minister to, although they didn't put it that way, they asked us to set up a feeding program for women who are in the last stage of AIDS. So they have about 18 women there who are literally probably not going to live another 6 months to a year. This is a big secret. We're not supposed to tell anybody because it's bad for business, of course. But they've told us that we can go in and tell everybody that we're ministering or we're visiting very sick people, which is true. And so what they've asked us to do is to provide food for these ladies 5 days a week. And they've given us permission. When we do that, we are able to go in. We can pray with them. We can share the gospel with them. And who needs the gospel more than they do? I mean, these women have been betrayed by pretty much everyone who's come into their life. They were forced into a life that they didn't want. They got sick because of that, and now they're going to die. And because they're no longer able to work, they have no value to the people, so nobody cares. And so for us to be able to go in there, provide them with nutritious food, and at the same time, just like Jesus and the woman at the well, provide them with water that they're really thirsting for, and let them know that there is a God who loves them, who cares for them, who gave himself for them, who wants them for all eternity. You know, he knows what's going on, and he's ready to embrace them and accept them, cleanse them, and keep them. And it's just an awesome, awesome opportunity for us. And then they've asked us on top of that, where they've told us that we have the same opportunity with the women who are older. They're no longer in demand because they're older. And so these women, because they're not working, it's the same situation. You don't work, you don't eat, you don't have any income. And so we're able to start working among them. And then they came with the most wonderful request of all. And they asked us if we could do something for the boys. because the boys are also running wild. They have no positive male model, period. All they see are the men who are there, who are basically pimps, who have no respect for women. They don't have respect for anybody, actually. They themselves don't know anything about what a man is supposed to be. So the kids are learning gambling, alcohol, you know, all of the really bad stuff at an early age. So he's asked us if we could do something for the boys. And just think about that. Because what he doesn't realize is that he's giving us the opportunity to change that society from the inside out. Because when we reach the boys and they learn what God's plan really is for the man, what a godly man looks like, and accept Christ and are walking along with him, that's going to turn that whole society upside down. So we just really praise God for every door that he's opening for us.
When you go in there, do you ever just feel so overwhelmed with, you know, on a given day when you walk in to the red light district to you know, do the school or whatever it is?
We used to go together, and mostly with Ashish, otherwise we both will together. There is no problem with going because the NGO is given the permission to us to go certain points. Mm-hmm. We are, when the only day we will go to the red light inside the, among the area, patient area, when the medical camp of any other things will happen. Otherwise we will go to this children's area and teach and come back.
And when we go, we do get to see the women. And it is overwhelming. Because you see these women, there was a time when we went to speak with the NGO, which is the nonprofit organization, and we needed to meet with our leadership, and I think the mayor or somebody was in there talking to them. So we had to wait, and all these women were outside on all these different lanes. And as we were waiting there, they were so gracious. I mean, they brought us stools to sit on, they made tea for us, they wanted to make sure we were comfortable. I mean, it was just them trying to help us. And when you look at them, and I'm sorry, I'm going to cry.
And rightly so, right?
Yes.
No,
when you know what these women have gone through, they were trafficked, they were kidnapped, they were sold, they were enslaved. And yet they're surviving. And for a woman, these women who have been, who are literally living in hell, to reach out to us and bring me a cup of tea just to make sure that I'm comfortable and to show hospitality like that, it's very overwhelming.
It's staggering. Wow.
The people are very simple, women and everybody. But in Hinduism, there is a certain grade is there. This people are the prostitute or leprosy patient, like they will treat. They will not allow to go. Anybody will not go that area. Anybody will talk these women. Hardly certain kinds of people only will go and talk these people. This is the difference. The Christians will go and talking and sitting with them.
They don't allow them. They're not accepted anywhere outside of that.
Even
area.
Sometimes I will use our rivals. They will. They don't want to go and stand there. They will put the vehicle in far away and tell them to act.
We've heard some of us that have heard the term untouchables.
Not only touchable, mm-hmm. Once you go, means other people will think very bad, so, and they will talk about these things.
So the driver, you know, if you have
people
a driver,
people are afraid of that one.
And he parks his vehicle in that area, then anybody who knows him, happens to see him sitting there, you know, what are they going to think?
Then the community
so
will...
they're not willing to go and sit there. They have to stay far
then
away.
Then the driver will involve with some certain people there. They will not call his vehicles for...
Yeah, he'll lose his business.
He will lose the business also.
Wow.
Because involved with these mm-hmm. people, they will think like that.
Because the people don't see them as victims. They just see them as prostitutes. They've totally dehumanized them. They're not people who got there in a different way. Trafficking is, of course, illegal and immoral, and the people and everybody agrees with that, and yet it goes on.
Some people's mind in India settled with like that, because one of the doctor is staying in nearby in our house, next door, we are a flat that. Then the flood is going on, then some people are coming for help, couple of hundred rupees, for $3-4. Then doctor is a medical doctor, he told, God created them poor, why you are giving? He asked the question like that. That's the way they are thinking. Mm-hmm.
Right. So the Hindu religion is karmic. So they believe whatever you must have done something in your previous life to deserve what's happening to
maybe
you.
Maybe not
now.
All people, but some people will think like that. In the higher level people, they are educated. We will go to the educated, these poor children, they will ask why you are going doing these things. Let them be poor and let them don't study.
You talked about the ministry to the children. Have we talked about the school yet?
No, not yet.
Let's talk about the school.
Okay. Originally, what they wanted us to do was really to start a school for the kids. And there is a government school that is just outside this area. And, it, you know, there are about 1,000 kids in the area. And about maybe 45 are attending school. A lot of times they're just not accepted because of who their moms are. And so we are starting right now, because with limited resources, we just went ahead and we started, and we're teaching them basics. But what we would like to do is to expand on that and maybe start with the little ones and actually start a school that would be operational in that area. And so the kids would have an opportunity to come and to be educated, because once they have that, then they have an opportunity to get out of there. So we have two rooms that we're renting right now for the club, and we would like to use those and start maybe with nursery, because in West Bengal, school starts at 2:30. So, and at 2:30, it's real school. It's not playgroup. It's they sit. They have exams, they have books, they have everything. So by the time they're in first grade, they've already learned to write and script. They already know all their numbers, and they started math. So it's very serious. And so we would like to start them in their curriculum, get them going, teach them English along with their language so that so it would be more of an English medium type of school for them, which will be wonderful, because English is becoming the business language around the world, actually. And so they'll be able to manage and have an opportunity while we're teaching them, of course. You start teaching a nursery student about Jesus, and you've got the next 12 years, 13 years to continue discipling and basically, in addition to just providing for their need. And then we would need a couple of teachers, 2 to 3 teachers, and we need to pay them about $35 to $40 a month. So we have a great opportunity to really change the lives of all of these kids.
That's incredible. So if God would to work among us and enable us to come, would there be any way that we could help? We talked a little bit about this last night, mm-hmm. For example, with the school or anything during the week.
Sure. You could, there would be a great opportunity for you to do something like a vacation Bible school. You could actually come and teach. Maybe we could have a whole week of extra English, teaching that. There would be many opportunities. You could visit the women who are suffering with AIDS, minister to them. There'd be great opportunities for you to come and to truly serve there.
We have done VBS before.
Talk about the cost, to feed those women. And could you mention, too, just a little bit about, we talked about what their rooms look like, those ladies and what they live in.
We have a group that came last year to do a medical camp. And so there's a church that has a whole lot of doctors in it. So they came, and They did something kind of like a VBS with the kids as well. And so we set it all up and said, okay, we need a facility for the people also. And they said, no problem, we'll have it ready for you. So we got there and said, okay, can you show me where the restroom is going to be so I can tell the team? And they took me to one of the girls' rooms. They said, this lady has said that you can use her room. So went into her room, which was about 6x8, had a tiny window about this big. She had a cot that is not even quite the size of a twin bed, and a little bench that had some little personal items on it. And then there was a hole in the wall, about this big, at the base of the wall, with a little, what is it? Kind of a trough. Thank you. A trough leading up to it. And so, of course, this was not going to meet our need. but this is where these women live. This is where they raise their children. This is where they work. And they have to pay for that room every day. So they pay 150 rupees per day, which in dollars is not that much, but we're not dealing in dollars. We're dealing in rupees there. And it comes out to about $100 a month for them to have this little tiny space that they have to support every single day. And they have to do that on top of earning money to eat and all of the other things that they have to do. And what was the other thing?
And how much it costs
to feed the ladies? The feeding program for the AIDS patients is, we can feed 18 women 5 days a week for $250 a month. So that's giving them nutritious food that is something they're used to eating, and they would have rice and lentils and vegetable, and three times in a week they'd have some kind of protein, whether it was chicken, fish, or eggs. And so we're able to do that at right around $250 a month. And then for the kids, the snacks that we give them every day, it takes about $150 a month to provide them with a boiled egg and banana, just something to give them something extra. So it's, by our standards, it's really not that much, but for them it's overwhelming.
Wow. Tell us, unless you want to add anything about the ministry to the Red Light District, tell us a little bit then about the children's home you're attempting to get started.
Several ladies came to us and when we started the children's club, and they said, there's nothing you can do for me, but please help my child. I don't want my child to grow up here. The women they can get out, but they have to buy their way out. They have to pay whatever they were sold for in addition to any other expenses that they have incurred along the way. And so it takes years and years. And so they came to us and they said, please, you know, do something for our kids. Save them. And it reminded me of, you know, if you were walking by and there was a burning building and the woman was leaning out the window with her baby and saying, you know, save my child, what would you do? You know, Matthew and I had been praying about starting a children's home since we got married, actually. And so we just felt like this was God's timing. So now we're going to, when we get back, we'll be able to take in there'll be five girls that are ready. We just need their paperwork finished. The mothers have to sign over, do some legal, you know, stuff to get the children to us. So we have five little girls, between ages of 7 and 9. Four of them are between the ages of 7 and 9. One is a little bit older. She's 12, which is really older than we wanted to take, but she's at risk. She's 12 now. And so if we don't take her, then there's a real strong possibility that she's going to end up as a, working in that area. So when we get back, we are going to be able to get started. And we moved into a new house that in the apartment right, it's two-story. And so the apartment below us became empty. And so we've rented that as well. So this is where the kids will live, and we'll have somebody coming in to help us. Matthew's met a young lady who's able to come. She speaks four languages, English, Hindi, Nepali, and Bengali. And she's worked with Operation Mobilization. I don't know if you're familiar with them. They do a lot of distribution, and the people who work with them are tremendous. They are just, they've learned so much through that organization, and they have great spiritual life, and she's worked with a children's home before, so she has experience. And so she's going to do that. We have a young lady who's American who has come to help us with the children's clubs. She'll be visiting the children's clubs in West Bengal and helping to train the leaders and motivate them. And so she will be traveling around, but she's asked to live there with the kids as well. So she'll be pouring into them as well. And then we're searching, we have been searching, and we'll continue to search for house parents. So a couple that will come and they'll become a family. So the kids will grow up in a family atmosphere with people who love them. Matthew will be the spiritual leader for the home, and we just believe that God's going to use it to really make a change in these kids' lives.
And you talked a little bit about the cost last night of what it would take to support one of those children.
It's about $30 a month to support the kids. So that's feeding, clothing, and right now we can't put them in school because none of them have any education. So you can't take a 12-year-old and send her to school when she doesn't know anything at all. So we're going to be homeschooling them and the younger ones until they're able to get to a point where we can get them into school. And the 1,000 rupees is what it comes out to. So about $30 a month will cover their school costs, their basic clothing and fooding costs. So
Per child. Anything else that we didn't get to?
If you did not get one of these, I think Javi has some of these are prayer requests that they have asked us to pray for their ministry and for Oshers. And also there's a place, there's going to be continually, you know, there's some people back there. If you'd like to get a special offering.
Talk about the possibility of you guys coming to do some training.
Yes.
The children's homes that they're starting out of their own pocket. This is not part of EPIC. This is what they're doing. So they do really rely on people like us to help, you know, fund this. So if you feel led, you can see that up there. Also on the bottom of the sheet, you can go to www.jointheeffort.org and click on Samaria's Hope. That's the name of their children's home. And there's a link that tells you all about them. And then you can donate there, too. That's also, you know, nonprofit. And if you feel led later on, you can always give a check to Lemire, and we'll make sure that they get it.
Sure. There's a basket up front here, too.
Okay.
So, we did talk about this last night. About how we could help with the church planters.
Mm-hmm.
How is there something that even us, we could do to help out?
We have a great need right now for continuing leadership development with the church planters and the house church leaders. The house church leaders are lay people. They haven't had any Bible training, but the Lord is raising them up to lead their house church. And so the church planters are mentoring them and guiding them and giving them foundational training. But the church planters themselves are really in needing more, especially, you know, leaders get busy and they have a tendency to focus on what needs to be done. They know how to plant churches. That's no problem, but they really need to be help developing a stronger spiritual life, because many times you get busy with the task and you kind of feel like you don't have time to pray, or, you know, your family suffers and things like that. The same thing's here. So we want to see them develop strong, so that they're very strong spiritually. And we feel that you all are well equipped to come and to do some training. And maybe we could do it on two tracks, so that you have some people training the church planters and going deeper into the Word and doing deeper studies. And then the lay leaders, the house church leaders, are more of a beginner level. And so some of the people who maybe feel like, well, I'm not the pastor, so I can't do that. But you can. You can come, and you could teach the lay leaders and help them to get started. We need them to have a really strong foundation so that they can lead these new believers. And out of those new believers, they're being encouraged to go and to share with their friends and their neighbors, so that house churches are being started through the house churches. And so the Timothys have Timothys, and sometimes down to the third and fourth generation. So it's very important that we help the church planters to continue to grow in their walk and develop stronger leadership skills. And we just feel like that would be a great blessing for us if you all would consider doing that.
It's not like these guys are seminary trained.
No.
So one of our guys who's been to men's Bible study for 5 years,
sure,
has probably got a little, maybe as much, if not more, under his belt than mm-hmm. any of these men.
And so as they're asking questions, you know, you've got your own personal experience with the Lord and how you've managed with different trials that have come up in your life, and, you know, you'll be able to share that with them. We'll be happy to provide translators for you and anything else that you may need. But you would truly be blessing these people and blessing the work and helping it to grow even stronger. So we want these people to not only be able to stand in their faith, but to walk and run in their faith, you know, so that they are really what God designed them to be. And we would just love it if you would come and help us with that.
So I just want to make sure that everybody here heard the creaking sound. Did you hear that just a minute ago? That was the door of opportunity opening.
Well, we want to make sure that it's not just the men.
Yeah.
Because the church planters' wives are doing a lot, and they need encouragement. They need Bible studies. They need, you know, help as well. And so we would encourage the ladies to come as well and help out.
Wow. Okay. Anything else you haven't said that you want to say?
No.
Okay.
Pray for this church planter and their wife and our leader Alexis and Sudev. These are the people are there. The church prayer is important. I believe that the prayer is the most important things. Support things also important, whatever you can. It is not fully, but if people can come and teaching this church planter and the elders separately and the women is very hardly getting. We never involve, very few times occasionally we doing the women's meetings. Once also like to get trained is better. Pray for them. It is, thank you for your all prayer last couple of years. The prayer is the one main result. There is a Lord adding the people to his kingdom.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much.
Well, we've got good prayer requests, so I want to ask you just to rehash these. And we will take these, and we will pray. And we commit to pray, as we have.
Mm-hmm. Sure, thank you.
And we will pray that God directs us about coming back.
Okay.
And sure. God willing, we won't get sick this time.
No.
But our group is famous for our sickness, isn't it?
Everybody knows. But actually, we learned a lot. So
So yes, we want you to come back again, and what we want you to do is just to come and come directly to Siliguri.
Yes.
And
take one day of rest.
Take a day of rest, and at the end of the trip, plan for something so that you can do something fun and see some of the area. And then
we didn't have fun last time.
Oh yeah. Bring your video cameras. You can strap them to the front of the taxis as you go through. And so thank you so much. We just really look forward to you all coming.
Thank you very much for it.
We're so grateful that we had this opportunity, that you were actually here, and that we could have you here in the service, and that we could hear from you. And we need to pray for them because they're going back home tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
They've been here since mid-December, mm-hmm. and they are probably ready to get back into their own bed.
It'll be nice to be in the same bed for more than a couple of days.
Okay. Well, let me pray for you. Guys, let's join me in prayer as we lift up Matthew and Krista. It is staggering, Lord, what we've heard both last night at the Herds and this morning. And it's just amazing. And we don't have categories to put all the information we've heard in. And it's just mind-blowing. What a profound ministry you have given them. We praise you for their work in India. We praise you for the fruit you have borne through Ashish and the church planters, mm-hmm. and how the light of the gospel is breaking into India in West Bengal, and how you are saving people with your sovereign word. Lord, thank you for Matthew and Krista. Lord, sustain them with your grace. Strengthen them physically and spiritually and emotionally to return to work. I pray that you'd grant them a safe and uneventful trip home tomorrow. Bless them with a great trip home. Lord, provide the funds they need. Father, I pray that you would pave the way for a further opportunity into the red light district. Cause it to bear fruit there, Lord, that their home would open, that they are able to start this school, provide the teachers. Lord, restrain the evil one from his efforts to thwart their ministry. Lord, I pray that you'd block him at every step. Be with them now. Take them safely home. Christ Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.